Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Whenever, whatever we can use to invade the darkness and to let people know. I'm not talking about getting a soapbox and standing on Main Street and preaching. I'm talking about just in your everyday life, Jesus comes up. Be bold. As we invade our homes, as we invade our schools, as we invade our neighborhoods and our community and our world, be bold. Throw up the sail. Follow the Spirit's leading. You don't have to memorize some formula. Just talk about what Jesus has done in your life. Don't be afraid. Speak out.
What does it practically look like to partner with God and go and make disciples? Well, today, Pastor Michael will challenge you to look up to the cross and recognize Jesus died for everyone who'd believe and change your perception of others. Look at them with eyes of love and compassion like Jesus does. And then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, invade the darkness with the light of Christ. Be bold and tell anyone who'll listen the good news. He wants everyone to come to know Him and be saved. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Acts chapter 18 as he continues his message, looking with Jesus' eyes.
So sometimes people wake up and they are dealing with a lot of stuff, all because they're trying to fill that void of emptiness that only God can fill. Now, so we drive by those people, we look at them and we're like, oh, you know, they really need Jesus, and we just keep going. How does God look at them? How does God look at those very same people? I'm gonna tell you, even those people that are waking up lonely and the people that are wasting their lives away, God's looking at them and saying, you know what, Michael? Some of those people, they're mine. And they're not saved yet, but they're mine. How do we look at those teenagers down at the skate park that wear their hoodies, and they're always on their phones, and they never look you in the eye? They just don't, I don't know why, they just won't look you in the eye. And so, you know, you're like, hey, what's up? And they're like, yeah, bald, fat, old man. How do we look at those kids that are hanging out? Or if you're here in Telluride after school, if you've ever gone to the public library, all those obnoxious, loud kids, man. Get off my lawn. You know, that kind of stuff. How do we look at them? You know how God looks at them? He loves them, man. Some of those kids are mine. They're not saved yet, but they're mine. They're mine. And they're reaching out and they're trying to find family or connection with someone. But you know what they're really looking for? They're looking for Jesus. What about the Latinx community that now we see in this area and in a lot of areas growing and growing and growing? They're the ones that are working in the hotels and running the restaurants and on construction sites all over the place around here. How do we look at them? Because I got to tell you, I'll go down Main Street and I'll pass and I'll say hello because we've met some of them. Now we're trying to reach out to them and I'll say hello. And you know what? Every time their heads are down and they're not looking, I see a huge divide, even in this little town, between the Latinx community and the white community. And well, we're not racist. We accept everybody. Really? Because you look and there's a divide. I'm telling you. How do we look at them? You know how God looks at them? I love them. Those people are my people. I died for them. And you may not speak their language, God would say, but I do. Dios le bendiga. There's so many folks out there, gang. We have to get a vision, God's vision, for how He sees anybody and everybody in our worlds. And we got to do things differently than we are. I pray that every time you and I go to a dark place, a place that maybe we're not very comfortable with, or with a people group that we're not super comfortable with, I pray every single time that we would get a glimpse of the Father's heart for those people. And that I'd stop looking at them with my judgmental eyes and that I would now see them with the eyes of the Master. The eyes of Jesus. Amen? How are we going to take our city for Christ? I promise you, it has to start with our vision changing. We have to have a vision for what God can do. The second thing we do is we got to invade. Well, that seems really harsh. I know. We must be those that are invading the darkness. We can't just sit on our hands in our churches, listen to sermons and sing our songs and then go and not make a difference. We have to speak up and speak out and invade the darkness. If you're in Acts, go back to chapter 5. But there was a time in Acts chapter 5 when the disciples, after Jesus had left, have been literally changing the world. They're turning it upside down. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, they're standing in front of these, not religious people, but in front of the leaders of the city or whatever. And it says this, "Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name?" The name of Jesus, okay? They were teaching it. They didn't care. But, you know, what anybody said. And the leaders are like, "We told you not to do it, dude." And it says, "Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and you're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." I love that line. You have filled Jerusalem. Jerusalem's a pretty good city, a pretty big city. And they're saying, you filled the city. And let me tell you what wasn't happening. They weren't grabbing a soapbox and going on the corner of First and Central and standing up there and preaching at people. I mean, there might have been some of that, but you know what they were doing? Everywhere that, how in the world did they fill the city? Man, you got to hear this, okay? This is big. That word teaching and preaching in different parts of the New Testament, there are different things that it means. You know what one of the definitions of teaching and preaching is? Dude, this rocked me. It's conversing. Conversing. See, we think that preaching and teaching only happens on a stage with some guy with a microphone or someone walking around or sitting on a stool or whatever. Let me tell you, preaching is that. It's way more than that. It is literally just conversing. How did they fill Jerusalem with their conversing? With this message of the name Jesus Christ? It's because everywhere they went, they just talked about him. Can I tell you? That's how it's going to happen. People aren't going to walk into this church, especially when it's 120 degrees in here or whatever it is right now. I'm literally losing weight, I think, as I'm talking to you. These lights are way hotter than what is pointing at you guys. But can I just say this, gang? We got to get out there. You know, during COVID, they built all these little wooden things on Main Street so that the restaurants, people could be out there. Can you imagine if you went out there and you're on that wooden thing and they've served your food and before you did anything, you grabbed hands with everybody and you prayed and everybody saw you on Main Street? "Well, I just believe it's a personal thing between me and the Lord. And so I just say real fast, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub." Dude, we need to be a witness everywhere we go. We need to be conversing with people, talking with them. And you say, "I don't know how to do that. I'm not talking about shoving Jesus down people's throat. I'm just saying, bring it up." You know, let me just tell you, one of the keys to conversing with people about Jesus, this is my trick. I'll teach it to you right now. Here it is. Talk to everybody like they're believers. Just talk to everybody like they're believers. I think that's what Jesus did. When Jesus was kicking it with the woman at the well, look at how he talks to her. He's just talking to her like she already's on the page. I love that. People come into the coffee shop. By the way, praise the Lord, Friday, we had the largest day ever in our coffee shop. People coming in. Let me tell you, I just talked to them. They're like, "Well, how come it's free? And how come you just give away lattes and everything?" And they'll ask questions like that. And I always tell them, "Well, you know, we believe, you know, Jesus did this and Jesus does this." And I just talk to them like they're believers. I just do. And if they're not, then they're like, "Oh, okay, thank you. I don't care." We should be those that are always talking about Jesus. It just comes up. You know, I met I won't say I met her. I know her. She's sitting right here. Miss Susan has a beautiful cross necklace, and I saw it yesterday. And I was thinking about stuff like that. You know, I get it. You wear a cross. It doesn't mean you're a Christian. But there's something about putting a cross around your neck when you talk to people. It says something. You know, it's why I have all these tattoos on my hands. And people always ask me about this. What does that say? And I always tell them, "Well, it says he is greater than I." Who's he? Jesus. Oh, okay. Yeah, never mind. Like, no, man, I mean, he must increase and I must decrease. You ever take math? Whenever, whatever we can use, dude, to invade the darkness and to let people know. I'm not talking about getting a soapbox and standing on Main Street and preaching. I'm talking about just in your everyday life, Jesus comes up. Be bold as we invade our homes, as we invade our schools, as we invade our neighborhoods and our community and our world. Be bold. Throw up the sail. Follow the Spirit's leading. You don't have to memorize some formula. Just talk about what Jesus has done in your life. Don't be afraid. Speak out. God would say, "I'm with you. I'm with you, and I got your back." And here's the deal. There's people in your community that belong to me, God would say. They're mine, but they're not yet saved. But here's my plan. I'm going to use you to reach them. I'm going to use you to pray for them and to speak to them. See, this is my, if I were God, I would do it totally different. Like, he should take notes. I would bust an angel down on Main Street right in the middle of a festival or something. Like some 9-foot beautiful Fabio looking angel with big wings. Drop him on stage in Town Park, you know, right in the middle of bluegrass. Some dude's on a cigar box and just, and then the angel just comes down and like, hello. That would be, everybody would get saved. It's like, God, why don't you do that? I don't know. I don't know why God doesn't do that. You know what God's plan is? Us freaks. Us weirdos. He wants to use us in little conversations, conversing with people to turn our city upside down. So we got to envision it. Then we got to get out there and be bold and invade it. And then the last one is this, enjoy it. We got to enjoy it. In Acts chapter 8, there's a guy named Philip who's been teaching in a place called Samaria. And as he's teaching, we read in verse 8 of chapter 8 of Acts, we read that what he was saying was bringing joy to everybody. They were pumped. But before that, it says this in verse 6, the crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said as they listened and saw the signs he was performing. I thought that was so interesting that it says here, down in verse 8 below that, it says they were filled with joy. But here it says that as he was talking, they listened and saw the miracles, basically. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about miracles, like when they happened then and if they happen today, when I think about seeing them, like I want to see that. That'd be really cool. I don't think about hearing miracles. Like that's interesting, the way that was worded, that they heard and they saw. But you know, as I was thinking about this, what I think that means, gang, is that we live in this world that is drifting aimlessly. They are literally drifting aimlessly. They are confused incredibly. Whether you're talking about gender issues or whatever, in the last 5 years, we live in a culture that is absolutely confused. But you know what? When we speak clearly and directly, and we speak the truth of God's word, and we say things, listen, let me show you what the big picture is. Yeah, there's going to be people that don't like us. Jesus said that. Jesus said, they hated me, guys. They're going to hate you too. If you follow me, they're going to hate you. So you're going to have some people like that. But there are other people that are stinking, screaming for somebody to take a stand and to say, let me tell you what truth is. According to God's word, this is truth. And there's going to be people that pass us off. But I would suggest to you that we are seeing a decline in people that even believe in God, because a lot of us, they do believe in God and they come to church. For some reason, we have zipped it. And there is great joy to be had when we speak the truth. And miracles can be seen and heard. The biggest miracle is just the transformation of lives that are changed. Wouldn't it be awesome? I think it would be awesome. Think of five people in your life right now. Five people in your world that don't know Jesus. Wouldn't it be awesome if those five people surrendered their life to Jesus in this next year? Like, can you imagine? And maybe right now you're thinking, maybe like I'm thinking, like, well, I don't know. You don't know the five people I was thinking of, because there's no way. They are heathen. Can you imagine if they came to know Jesus? You know what would happen in our world if five people of everybody we know in this room came to know Jesus this next year? We would start seeing parents parenting better. We'd start seeing husbands and wives who are having serious issues. We'd see them working those things out, those difficulties, working them out. We would see people that have become disoriented and disfranchised with life. We would see them coming and being filled with joy. And you know what would happen too if you were a part of that process? You would be filled with joy. Really. Like, there ain't nothing better than being part of somebody that you love coming to know Jesus. There's nothing better than that. You can't eat enough weird, whacked out mushrooms to feel that good. Enjoying. Gang, as we envision what God can do, as we invade and just converse with people in a natural way, I'm telling you, we are going to see good things happen. And we'll enjoy it. Remember the angel on the night Jesus was born, what the angel declared. He says, I proclaim to you good news of great boringness. Nope. This is good news, dude, of great joy. Like, whoa. But where's the Christians that actually believe this? You know, it's like, oh, what did you do this weekend? I went to church. It was super hot. That's all I remember. Bro, if you love Jesus, man, get some stinking joy up in your business. And start telling, it is the good news of great joy. The message that the angel declared is a message that we should be declaring. And joy will come. I believe this big time. I pray that you and I would be people that would envision what God can do, be conversing with folks, and then watch him in joy as we're seeing the miracle of changed lives. Now, up to this point in the sermon, maybe you're listening and you are starting to zone out. So let me bring you back in just for a second because we're almost done. Maybe you're thinking, well, that's a nice little sermon. 3 points and they all rhymed. Envisioning, invading, enjoying. That's really nice. Did you learn that in Bible college? 3 points that rhyme. That's so nice. But how do we do it? Like your little statement there that you read at the beginning talks about doing these kinds of things, opening our eyes to the lost and seeing them like Jesus sees them in a practical and persistent way. So how do we practically do that? Like really? You guys do ask really good questions. I don't know. No, I do know. And I want to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you from another translation. Because the key, gang, to doing what I've been talking about practically is this. And I'm going to read this last passage and we'll be done. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 8. And I'll bet you've heard this story. I'm going to read it to you. Then Jesus came to a city called Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to him. And they begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Now, let me just stop here real quick. How many of you have heard this story before? Okay, if you grew up in church, you probably heard this story, right? I used to call it the loogie story. Jesus just hawks one on this dude's eyes. And I gotta tell you, it's weird, but this is the truth. I'm just being honest. Every sermon I've ever heard about this passage is always something to do with this, which is a great application, but it's always something like this, because we know Jesus healed other blind people, like blind Bartimaeus outside the gate of Beautiful, and Jesus didn't spit on him, but he spit here. And so usually the sermons that I've heard about this passage are something like this. God, you can't put God in a box. God heals some people this way, and he heals some people this way, and but God is healing. Listen, I love that application. That's great. But there's more to this story here. Now watch this. So he takes him out of town. He spits on him. And verse 24, and the blind guy looks up and he said, I see men like trees walking. Okay? Now this, if I take my glasses off, this is a great way to describe if I'm walking down Main Street what I see people, especially if they're dressed in brown with green hair. Because you all look really fuzzy to me. Really fuzzy. Just being honest. And so that's what happens here. Jesus touches this guy and he can see. Like, boom, it's not black anymore. But he sees people. He's like, well, I see people, but they're like trees walking around. So watch this. Then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again and he made him look up and he was restored and he saw everyone clearly. Now look at that second to last word. He saw not everything clearly. He saw everyone clearly. Now, what's the point? Gang, I think many of us in this room have been touched by Jesus and our blind eyes have been opened. But you know what? We still see pretty fuzzy. We ain't seeing people like Jesus sees them. And so we need a second touch, if I can say it that way. We need God to touch us again so that we can see everyone clearly. Remember, our point here is looking with Jesus' eyes. We want to see people like Jesus sees them. But I love this translation because it really pulls out the original language that says that Jesus made him look up. Do you see that? I don't know what that means. I don't know if Jesus grabbed his face and went, I don't know. Or if he took his chin, you know, like, hey, look up, buddy. I don't know. But I love that he made him look up because, gang, that is the key to how practically we can envision, invade, and enjoy what God's doing. This is it. We must be those that look up. We look up. What do we look up to? We look up to another tree. A tree that Jesus was pinned on. Because let me tell you how we look at folks today. Many Christians, and I think we need messages like this every once in a while. There are what I call a spiritual hiney kick. We need them every once in a while. Because we look at people and we see them like trees walking around. In a sense, we look at them, can I say this, you ready? And we're stumped by them. Come on. I know I'm going out on a branch here, but listen. We look at them, we wanna cut them down. How many more can I get in? We wish they would leave. Sorry. But you know what I'm saying. We do. How does Jesus look at them? He looks at them and he says, they're mine. They're mine. Well, how do I do this practically? How do I do it? We look up and we see Jesus who hung on a tree. You know, Jesus hung on that tree after they had ripped his beard out of his face. Ouch. They had put a bag over his face and punched him repeatedly, saying, if you're a prophet, guess the name of the soldier that just punched your lights out. They nail him to the tree. All the flogging that happened to his back, the crown of thorns. We know the story. We've seen it. We've heard it. But after all of that, he's hanging up there and he says these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't get that, dude. You spit on me. I want to fight. I don't want to say, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. I thought, wipe it off. It's called unconditional love. No matter what you do to me, I will love you anyway. How do I practically really take our city back, gang? I got to look to Jesus and I got to see him saying, Michael, the very person that you're ignoring, the person that you keep walking by, I died for them. I love them more. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He loves them. And when I see that, kind of love, gang, how do we view the people in our communities? In this community, we have all these hippies. And their church is just, I talk to them all the time, just nature is my church. Okay. You know, my God is the trees. Okay. They don't vote like me. They don't act like me. But I know God's saying, some of those people are mine. They're just not saved yet. I must look at them like Jesus looks at them and see the Lord on the cross say, Michael, get off your high horse, bro. I died for them. I love them. Every one of us have people in our lives, in our world. If you're listening to me, every one of us have people in our world that God died for. May you and I be those who look with the eyes of Jesus Christ at everybody. Today, you're gonna leave here, but everybody you see, man, start looking at them like Jesus looks at them. And you know what? It's okay to pray too. Say, God, I really stink at this. Would you please help me? I want to see my neighbor who is really an idiot, but I want to see him like you do so I don't call them an idiot anymore. Not even in my heart. I want to love them. You know, Jesus doesn't just say, well, I love you, but you're an idiot. He genuinely loves people. May you and I be men and women, wherever church you go to, man, that love and look at people like Jesus did. Amen.
A person's heartbeat serves as a sign of life. But when it comes to the church, what signs of life should we be looking for? Jesus answered that question for us during the last days of his life when he was speaking to his disciples. In John 13, verses 34 to 35, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's hard enough to love the other people within your same church walls, but what about when it comes to other churches? Does Jesus truly expect us to love them too? What if they act, dress, or look differently than we do? The world is watching, and they don't care if you're wearing a suit and a tie or shorts and flip-flops. What they're going to see is the love, or lack of love, between us. Together, we make up the body of Christ. Are you exhibiting this sign of life for the world to see? It's been great to spend time with you today. We're so glad you've chosen to spend your time this way. When the world sees you loving others within the body of Christ, they're going to start asking questions. Be ready with our evangelizing tool, Something Missing. You can find it online at thealpinechapel.com. Once again, that's thealpinechapel.com. Burning Hearts is a ministry out of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. On our website, you can learn about us and where to find our live stream services. Well, it's been great. We'll see you here again next time on Burning Hearts.